This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 230 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com. And joining me on the line via a very dodgy Skype connection, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
What? What are you laughing at? No, I'm fantastic. I'm so happy to be here.
That's good.
You know, I can think of hardly no more than a million other places that would be more enjoyable, but I could think of several million that would be worse. So, you know, you're up there in the top, yeah. At least 25%.
Oh, that's nice to know.
Well, what's up this week, Bruce? What are we going to talk about?
Well,
first
off the cab on the Facebook page, Adam Davidson said, "Can the Shudders Inc. community crowdfund me a 400 mil lens and a trip to Hamilton Island to shoot the upcoming race week?"
So, how much is the 400 mil lens, though?
I have no idea.
Yeah, so I kind of think he's not going to settle for anything less than 2.8.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
We're talking 12,000 yeah. Divided by 7. Come on, and you're not paying anything, obviously, Adam. So it's divided by 6. That's 500 each asking us to kick in, Adam. Come on. plus travel. Yeah, he's asking us for like 700 apiece.
Yeah, doesn't
that's
want
not
much.
That's not crowd surfing. It's daylight robbery. For the quality of photos he's going to produce. he knows everything's serious. So you can keep your foot. You know where you can shove that 400 mil lens, don't you? Yeah.
So what have you been up to this week?
Well, you know, I've had a couple of workshops just for something different.
Yep.
But I've got to say, the natural light portrait workshop. Well, I've got to say, I might have had done myself. Yeah, it was a hell of an event. And I've got to say, several, if not more, of the photos probably go down to in my year's best.
Oh, wow.
Images.
Awesome.
Images. At the end of every year, I always collate the images I like the most.
Yep.
And that, we're not necessarily talking technically have to be the best, but ones that I like, you know.
Yep.
Which usually the ones that no one else seems to like. I think everyone finds it in photography, the one you like the most, and, you know, no one else seems to.
Yeah.
We got some cracking shots on a flat, dull, overcast Melbourne day. We got some corker shots.
Cool. This was with your 80-year-old Chinese gentleman.
86-year-old Chinese man. And he had awesome. I tell you, you know, when the first shot, the very first shot you do when you're just talking about, you know, about how to get exposure right, and you look in the back of the camera and you go, oh, the absolute first shot is such a killer, you know the day is going to be awesome.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, it was a great day. Peter, his name was, and he was a hell of a character, which kind of helps.
Yeah.
You know? And he was chatting up all the young ladies as they were walking down the street trying to see who was being shot by all these photographers. And of course, for him being 86, anyone under retirement age was the young this young lady. He was chatting up everybody, you know, getting all smiles and winks. And he had a ball. So we had a great time. Oh, with some of the shots just wonderful. So
the couple that I saw you put up on Facebook looked great.
Yeah, really.
I loved the colour and texture of that wall you were shooting him against.
That red wall, yeah. That's the last shot of the day, this is the strange thing about photography, you know, unless you see the rest of the world, you've got no idea where, no, obviously it's a wall, but you know, yeah. You don't have no context or anything else. There's only about 5 foot of that wall.
Oh, right.
But you know, because there's no other stuff around there, it could be this huge expanse or anything. Yeah. And it's this tiny bit of red, but it's absolutely beautiful. I'm thinking about going down there, getting my next biopic shot against it.
Nice.
So I was I had a lady fly in from New Zealand for the workshop, and she sent me a picture of me against that wall. But of course, I was being a knob. So that's why. The photo's not real good.
not quite profile pic worthy, huh?
Yeah, not quite. You know, I was doing the sign language sign for lesbian and had my hat on sideways. It's not the best.
Well, look, we got an email from Carl Hemmings through the week.
Again?
We did, yes, again.
Jesus, that's like three centres. That's just... Talk about hogging the airways.
Oh, well. Hi, Bruce and Glyn. Good to hear you back on the airways after your 3 week break. Hey, not sure if you use the Black Rapid system. I don't as yet. But if you do, this guy has incorporated a safety strap in case one system fails. Some men don't like the diagonal strap going across their chest because it can give you the look of man boobs. I don't have that problem. Personally, I'd like it to own some of that really right stuff, well-engineered piece of kit, but the price puts me off. I'm a toolmaker by trade, and if I had access to a machine shop, I'd be milling and machining a solid block of aluminium to suit. But that's not happening, so I'll have to pay just like other photo geeks do. Anyway, check out the video, let me know what you think. Cheers, Carl. The Black Rapid and Arca Swiss solution. Now, I'd heard of Black Rapid, but I've not heard of Arca Swiss. Are you familiar with them,
Glenn? Really? Oh, yeah, absolutely. They make Arcas in Switzerland.
Right. Excellent.
No, they're a well-known ball head and accessory company. So,
right. Okay.
They're only one of the industry standards. The most
okay.
Common.
Hence, I'd never heard of them.
Yeah, they're only like the best of the best. Yeah, right. Top end, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And where you tend to dwell, I can understand why you're. You Sony Luddite.
So I will put the link to the video in the show notes.
And I've got to say, look, I've had several R-strap failures over the years.
Oh, really?
Of cameras falling off and smashing on the ground.
Ow.
And it's a discussion I've had with people over the years as well. They said, oh, you know, what if it falls off? I said, well, look, you know, I do train a lot of women, so this was directed at women, and I said, in a nice way, I love them. As many as I can. No. I said, look, you know, if you have a really expensive bracelet, you know, you look at any expensive bracelet, they've all got a safety catch. Yeah. They've got a little safety chain, I should say, that stops it. You know, should the clasp come undone, They've got this little chain to hold on to it. Well, I said, why wouldn't you do the same thing with your strap?
Yeah.
You know, if it's really a concern for you, put a safety chain on it.
Yeah.
Don't, you know, that's a vertical across the chest type of strap. The best type of straps in the world. I mean, they take all the weight of your camera gear off you.
Yep.
If you've got a bad back, a bad neck, or just don't like carrying gear around your neck, they're the world's best straps.
Right.
That style of strap, you know, and there's quite a lot of makers out there who make that style of strap. So Not saying necessarily just Black Rapid. There are lots of other ones.
Yep.
I've been testing the new Joby one this weekend as an example.
Yep.
So there's lots of people out there that have them. But if you're concerned about the thing falling off, well, do something about it. Don't kill the whole. Don't sacrifice for carrying around a crappy strap system because it seems more secure. You know, fix the thing you're worried about.
Yeah.
Common sense, lad. Common sense.
Yeah. Well, in this video, this guy's basically done that. He's got one of those, I don't know what you call those clasps, the ones that you push in on the sides and they. Yeah, the teeth sort of click in and into the slot, and you know what I mean.
Yeah, and, you know,
he'd put one of those on, and it just looks great, and would certainly do exactly.
Yeah, in the local hardware store.
Yeah,
you know, get a bit of wire and a couple of crimps, and just crimps a bit of. Take you 2 minutes, 10 cents. You know, probably 12 cents because it could pay tax, but it's not going to cost much to fix the problem. You know,
no.
And you get plastic coated wire so it doesn't rub against the body too much or wear the body if you worry about that sort of stuff, and away you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Simple fix. Next.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. For those listeners, all seven of you guys out there, and you know who you are, Where was I going? We've got a lot to talk about this week, Bruce.
We are
chock-a-blocks. You know what we're not going to do?
What aren't we going to do?
We're not going to waffle on and on and on and on about useless twaddle. We're going to get straight to the point. Because if we don't get to the point, you know what's going to happen, don't you? We're going to go on and on and on. We're going to waffle
on. And we'll just be here all night.
It could be a 5-hour episode. We could go on and on. You know, I hate it when people just, you know, they don't get to the point. They just go on and on. Just drives you. Oh, it's unbelievably annoying. And
it does.
All that really matters is that, you know, tonight we have to be succinct. We have to get straight to the point and say, look, we've just got to nut these things out. We can't go on and on about Carl's bloody solution to Black Rapid, for goodness sake. I mean, yeah, good on you, Carl. We've solved the problem. Well, but we can't go on and on and on about it because, you know, we've got so much to talk about. If we don't go through it all, well, we'll have to hold it over to next week.
So what have we got to talk about?
No, that was it. I'm over. Well, speaking of HDR.
Yeah. Oh, were we? Right, okay.
See that very subtle segue there.
Yeah, it looks very.
I've got two things about HDR this week.
Yeah.
One was a great little thing I came across this afternoon, which is another name, instead of high dynamic range, as we all know it.
Yep.
Hertz Dam Retinas.
Nice.
which I thought was rather clever.
Nice.
Hertz Dam Retinas. But no, I came across a new a logarithm software program of HDR this week, which claims it can allow you to do handheld HDRs without any dramas.
Oh, okay.
Which does kind of change the playing field a bit as far as, when and how and what you can do with it, I guess. Yeah, and the speed with which it takes to shoot the stuff.
Yeah.
So it's called Float, FLOAT.
Okay.
By a company called Unified Color, who I've got to say I'd never heard of before this week, but, you know, it's a big industry, so that doesn't surprise me necessarily. There might be a world-leading industry standard like Arcus West. Who knows? You could come back and say, what? You've never heard of them? But if we did, that'd just be us going on and on.
It would,
and on,
wouldn't it?
Waffling on and on and on. But yeah, those people who like that kind of thing, and it appears, looking at some of the example photos on their website, that it does a pretty darn good job of a fairly natural-looking post-work. So...
Yeah. So is it still based on the idea that you are taking a bracketed exposure set for each part of your panorama?
Well, it's not a panorama, it's a HDR.
Oh, I thought you said it was doing HDR panoramas.
Didn't say that.
Okay, I must have misheard
you. Are you listening to the same podcast? It could be somewhere else altogether.
Okay, sorry, I was not hearing you correctly.
I don't know. Let's hit rewind. And hear what, if I actually said it or not. Tell you what, Bruce, when you're editing this, if I said it, I want you to loop it over and over again and put it to music.
Right.
If I said the word HDR panorama, I want you to loop it and put it to music.
Right, okay.
Or maybe you could finish off the podcast with it.
Excellent idea. Excellent idea. So anyway, what does this software actually do?
So it just allows you to do handheld shots.
Right.
Bracketed shots.
Yeah.
Without the need for a tripod and without the need for every shot to be absolutely perfectly the same.
Right. So it just does an align layers function like Photoshop does.
Well, all HDR programs do.
Right.
But if you're even just slightly out, they can't do a very good job of it. This just happens to do, apparently, so they say, so they claim, an awesome job of it.
Right.
So it does change the world of shooting for that kind of stuff, somewhat. So yeah, I thought I'd bring that out for those who are among us who are interested in those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
Which
fair enough.
Occasionally I am, and occasionally I'm not.
Yeah, I'm still to be convinced. I really have to find a good tutorial on how to process HDR because I still haven't found a good one. So if anyone knows a good one, and please don't send me to Stuck in Customs, if anyone has seen a good tutorial on how to process HDR,
to their website, Unified Color. They've got some stuff on there, and their stuff looked, and the demonstration shots they had were very subtle.
Okay.
So, you know, worth a gander.
Okay.
You know, drop them a line, say that, look, we're a world-famous podcast. Now, we may only have 7 listeners, but they're bloody good. They're lovely people, and they should give us, both me and you, a trial version of the software. And, possibly some stage in the future we might talk about it again.
Yeah, absolutely.
See how that goes down. Oh, dear.
So through the week, of course, we saw here in Australia that Pixie Photo,
yes,
were laying off a whole bunch of people. Was it their entire operation, or are they just
300? Yeah, well, their entire operation, they're bankrupt. Yeah.
Right.
So, for those who don't know, I think the two listeners, the overseas couple, they're your kiddie photo, family photos, studio ish in shopping malls, the free sitting, the high pressured sale post photo session kind of business. Oh, you know, if you don't get them today, you know, we're going to delete them off the server in 2 days and they'll be gone forever. You have to spend the $12,000 now. Yes, you can pay it off, $1,000 an hour over the next 12 hours. It's no problem at all. That's the kind of, and I've been there and I've heard that line of, we're going to delete your photos off the hard drive.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
Is that hardcore?
Absolutely.
Wow. Yeah,
you wonder why someone like that. But what what astounds me is the liquidator or someone says, one of the reasons being is that technology has advanced beyond them. Okay, so that was the words. Technology has advanced beyond them.
Yeah.
And now people can take pretty good photos of themselves. Yeah, it's a classic, isn't it?
So hang on, the first part of that says to me that Pixie Photo just weren't keeping up.
Yeah, but, you know, they were taking photos and handing out a print. So.
But, yeah.
I mean, we don't need a lot of technology for that.
No, but no selfie is going to be as good as...
And that's a classic, isn't it? I mean, it's this whole... But
that's hey, just media misinformation.
It's technology that's caused the problem, but also people can do it because technology allows these people to do great shots themselves. Well, it doesn't. Yeah. I got a nice saucepan, still can't cook. That's what we say, you know? Yeah.
So what do you think caused the downfall of someone like Pixie Photo?
I'd say there's a couple of things. In the current economic climate, lack of expendable income.
Right.
Yeah, where are people prioritising putting their money? They just don't have the spare $500, $600, $700 necessarily for what is often that type of photos are often a bit of a whim to some degree. Yeah, so they're just saying this is being a little bit more circumspect with their spending.
Yep.
And I think the business model, was tired.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it just didn't enthuse people anymore. Their whole and look, some of the work, it was all reliant on, I mean, the people who shot the photos often didn't have much of an idea about how to shoot.
No.
You know, they were told, you know, setting A, setting B, setting C for pose A, B, and C, you know, just don't get the three mixed up. Yeah. And then they had a certain range of actions which gave the photos a certain look, and then there's the pressure to sell.
Yeah.
And I think that selling pressure is a failure in itself, that need to sell based on pressure rather than on emotion.
Yeah.
You know, the need to, you talk about the emotional value of the photographs to people and let them put a monetary value to it. And I think, so I think it's just a combination of factors, but I would not rule out that the economy has a major factor in the whole thing. So I think people just don't have the expendable income, or they're very wary of spending money when they don't necessarily need to.
And
because it's a big operation, and big operations need a lot of feeding.
Yes.
As far as customers and money through it, and big operations have big behind the scenes operations, accountants and office staff, and that all costs money.
I'd hate to think what their rent was like as well.
Well, exactly. I mean, they're all sort of associated with Target stores and all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that model in the US has pretty much gone bust as well. So it's it's not just Australia that it's happened to. I think all the Walmart stores, I think there's 2,600 labs closed, or those studios closed down last year.
Yep.
So it might have been earlier this year. This year's flying past. I just think that's just it. It's just a combination of those factors, and bang. It doesn't take much to hit tipping point where it's not economically viable.
Yeah.
And that does, someone was saying, I saw a comment from one of my customers that the first she heard that they'd gone out of business was that she had 15 phone calls the next day of people trying to do bookings for her.
Oh, wow.
And so that's a good sign. I mean, the small business model works. Yeah, the small business model works because they don't have the overheads.
Yeah.
They don't have all the infrastructure around it that needs to feed the beast.
Yeah.
So maybe it'll be good for the tiers down industry, and probably going to be better for the whole industry as a whole anyway.
Yeah.
So it depends on your perspective, I guess.
Hmm. Just a bugger for the 300 people that are now looking for a job.
Well, absolutely. But you know what? Yes, I'm sure X amount of them were interested in photography or had a passion for photography. But I wonder how many of them actually did.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Were they just doing a job, or were they, you know,
living
devastated?
The dream.
That,
yeah.
Exactly, living the dream, exactly. So that'd be kind of interesting to if you could get that sort of feedback as well. So
yeah. Well, I mean, having not that I've ever been into a Pixie photo, but having seen, you know, every Christmas time you walk through the shopping centres and you see, you know, it's usually a couple of young girls who are probably 17 to 20 years of age who are running the photos with Santa booth, you know, and the guy dressed up as Santa is probably the real photographer who knows what's what. And you just think, I'm sure neither of these girls would have a clue as to which end of the camera was which.
Well, I've run one of those Santa booths.
Oh, have you?
A couple of years ago.
Right.
And, you know, we used to employ just, you know, high school kids on summer holidays.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was it. So they really had no clue.
Yeah, so my assumption was correct then.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I took my daughter at last Christmas.
And were you the one dressed up as Santa?
No, well, the guy at Santa actually doesn't know anything either.
Oh, okay.
It's usually set up by somebody else, some tech head altogether. But I took my two kids to get Santa photos last Christmas, and they had a tech issue, so I stepped in. They had a USB connection issue, so I stepped in, got it going again for them. Well, I was waiting for my photo.
So you got your prints for nothing then?
No, just, you know, we don't have any say in the matter, you know. We're just those little kids who just press the button. But yeah, that's a different model again, I guess. There's not quite the height, and you'll find that's a big corporation these days anyway. The days of small, maybe the local photo retail in a centre running the Santa set up is gone, and it's now a big corporation comes in and does it all. Standardised packages, all computer generated, boom, and yeah, it's a different world again.
Yeah.
Every shopping centre I went to this last Christmas had exactly the same packages for sale.
Yeah, right.
So they're all obviously the same company, and the average price these days is like $50 for a package.
Now, last week we had a photograph supplied to us by Adam Davidson of a yacht on the Whitsunday shot with a 400mm lens from another yacht, and you called Adam out on. Oh, but he's only showing you the good one, and the other 50 shots around it are probably all crap. Adam came through. He sent me 13 images, which included the one that he had submitted to us, and I think probably half a dozen from either side. And I've got to say, they were all pretty much equal sharpness. He done a good job.
I've got two things to say to Adam.
Here we go.
Number one. None of the shots were actually were even remotely interesting anyway. Number two, I'm the smart ass here, thank you very much. Keep your bloody photos to yourself. Simple as
that. Well, hang on, you challenged him. You were the one who called him out on it.
Yeah, but he wasn't supposed to respond, was he? He wasn't supposed to back it up. Who the hell did you think he is? No, congratulations, Adam. I mean, that's some of the most consistent mediocre photography I've ever seen. Well done. You too can shoot 13 average shots in a row and get them sharp. But I've got to admit, now you were holding a big tool at the time, and you also had your 400mm lens.
Now we're down to 6 listeners, mate.
But... On our friend Adam Davidson, our ex friend Adam Davidson,
right.
He did also send through. I'm not sure if you saw the YouTube video for Never Wet.
Oh, yeah, that actually came through prior to us recording last week, and I forgot to mention it.
Me too. So I thought I'd bring it up now and sort of make it.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I'd forgotten about that. That was amazing.
I'm gonna knock people down and then build them back up again. That's what I do. tell us about it, since you're as enthusiastic as I am.
I will find the link and put it in the show notes. But basically, it's this stuff that this company has invented. It looked like it was an aerosol dispensing, you know, mechanism. But essentially, it was this...
aerosol dispensing mechanism.
Yeah, well, as
spray
in...
can.
Yes. Okay. It was like a spray can.
Just double checking. Because I don't want anyone to get confused that it was more complex than it actually was. Yes, an aerosol dispensing mechanism version 2.0973.
And basically, it's this stuff that you spray onto either fabric or to just anything that you don't
hard
want.
Surfaces,
yeah,
like
anything you don't want absorbing moisture, and any moisture you throw at it will then just slide straight off. And
it literally slides off, doesn't it?
It was amazing.
Quite incredible to see.
Like they showed the this in the video, they show the CEO of the company wearing these clothes, which they've treated with this Never Wet product, and then they're, you know, pouring mustard over him and chocolate sauce over him, and it all just slides straight off the fabric without sticking.
You do have to ask yourself one question though: how's he ever going to wash his clothes? He's going to stink, isn't he, after a while?
I said
they might not be dirty, but they smell bad.
I said that to Kath. I said, how do you wash the clothes later? And she goes,
never
wet
and never aroma.
And she said, well, you don't need to because they're not going to absorb anything. And I said, but you're still going to sweat on them.
The sweat will roll off, but the smell won't.
Yeah.
Smell will build. Yeah, that particles of smell are smaller than particles of water. They're going to suck into the fabric and... So, yeah, it's very interesting stuff. I saw a similar thing in Vegas at CES in January. It's a spray, but these people spray the insides of, like, your iPhone cover.
Right.
And then it's fully waterproof. You can dip it in water, you can do whatever you want with it, and it doesn't affect it at all.
Well, I think they had...
And they did a similar thing.
A similar thing with the Never Wet.
But it's an external spray rather than an internal. And now the problem with the internal one these people were showing was it required being put in at the time of manufacture. So you couldn't do any of your old devices.
No.
This, if it works, and as long as you don't miss a bit.
Mm. Yeah.
Which you're kind of worried about. Oh, I missed a corner. Oh, yeah. Look at that. Look at me. Oh, watch me put my phone into a fountain. Missed it by that much.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, but cool stuff. And who knows? Yeah, it could work.
As Adam said when he posted the link, he said, you know, who's game to try this with their DSLR body?
Oh, I would.
Would you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, doing a flash. Yeah, well, it's only a camera. Yeah, I shot with the Olympus ones. Got loaned me this waterproof digital SLR with their first digital SLR, the E1 with a 150mm f2, which was equivalent to a 300mm f2.
Right.
I stood in a fountain.
Yeah.
With water pouring all over us and shot with it, and it perfectly fine. Yeah, it was awesome. Freaked people out.
Yeah, right.
But it worked a treat.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'd love to see more of that sort of stuff on more cameras. But, of course, then you won't kill as many cameras and you won't have to buy more ones. And it's not good for the industry, this sustainability. It's not good, is it?
So what else have you got on your list?
Well, another exciting product.
Yeah.
And this one I got so damn excited about, even though it's not actually been built yet, and they haven't made the productions of them yet.
Right.
I actually paid real cash money for it. Well, PayPal's not really, yeah.
Okay.
It's kind of like real money. For Luxi, L-U-X-I.
Okay.
That's a light meter attachment for your phone. So it's a little thing. You click over the front of your camera lens and you download their app. And you hold it in front of the light and it tells you shutter speed, aperture, ISO.
Why?
Or you can set shutter speed, aperture, and it'll tell you ISO. Or why?
Yeah.
Did you say why?
Yeah.
Why? Why? Because it will then be metering the light falling on the subject, not the light reflecting off the subject.
Oh.
It's 100% more accurate than your camera's light meter.
Right. Interesting.
So here's the problem. This is the biggest problem always with cameras built in light meters. It always meters reflected light. The light bouncing off the thing you're shooting.
Yep.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, for $35.
Yeah, right.
To put on something you've always got with you, your phone, bang, if it works. And then they're actually in production at the moment. There was a Kickstarter project.
Yeah, right.
And Kickstarter's another crowdsourcing thing. And they wanted $100,000,
yeah.
And then they got $500,000.
Wow.
And they're up in production, and I've ordered mine and waiting for it to arrive in 4 to 6 weeks, apparently, and away we go. But that's going to be a seriously cool tool, yeah, just to have that And also if you're doing studio lighting, if you're doing anything, you know, just to have that ability to measure light.
So
and away you go.
Just to enlighten me and anyone else who's thinking along the same lines, why is measuring reflected light not as accurate as measuring incident light?
Well, light gets absorbed by that which it hits.
Right.
So imagine if you're shooting an African-American gent.
Okay, yep, I'm with you.
He's got very, very, very dark skin. Yes. I mean, possibly incredibly dark skin if you're shooting a Somali or a Jamaican, someone who's got incredibly dark skin. But what does your camera see?
Yeah, it sees a lot of black, and so therefore it wants to open up the exposure. Yeah, right.
Exactly. And so, or same thing, why is it when you shoot in the snow, all your photos come out grey and murky because the camera is measuring the light reflecting off the snow, not the light falling on the snow.
Right.
So so cameras have major problems with light. Not major. It's an intuitive feel thing. I mean, I have no real problem with it because I just know where it's going to go wrong and counter it.
Yeah.
But as a teaching tool, it's going to be awesome to be able to show people that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can walk up with your phone in front of, Rob, my best man at my wedding's a Jamaican guy, very dark skinned.
Right.
I can walk up and put my iPhone in front of his face where the light's falling on his face, press a button, say I want to shoot an F4 at 400 ISO.
Yep.
So I dial in F4, dial in 400 ISO, pop it in front of him, tells me 160th of a second or whatever. Go back, put 160, start shooting. And the exposure's perfect because it's the light falling on Rob, not the light bouncing off Rob.
Yeah, right.
So for $35, that's a seriously cool tool.
Yeah, and so is it platform agnostic or is it iOS only?
Well, they wouldn't make it for those Samsung Android-y crap stuff, would they? They only make it for a real photographer's tool, an iPhone. What? I actually, because I don't know. I didn't actually pay enough attention. I just,
of course not.
But I couldn't imagine why they wouldn't have it for more than that.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, or it's in production. So Luxi, L-U-X-I, will be in the show notes. I've got a YouTube video link where they show it working. And I was pretty excited, I've got to tell you. I was pretty darn excited about it all.
Well, when you think about how much it would cost to go and buy a dedicated light meter, you know, they measure in the hundreds.
Well, even a rudimentary one's going to cost you a couple hundred bucks.
So it's certainly a much cheaper option.
Yeah, 35. Yeah, absolutely. Plus, it's not another thing that needs batteries. It's not another thing you've got to carry. It's a very small thing you keep in the pocket of your camera bag, so it's always there should you ever need it.
Yep.
And yeah, it's always charged because it doesn't need batteries.
Yeah, nice.
And away you go. So I think it seems awesome. So let's see if it actually is.
Wow, I'm going to check that out when we finish recording.
Let's see how accurate it is.
Yeah, very nice. Okay, what else you got?
Well, my mate Dave Oakley, the lovely Dave Oakley, this week he got his first iFi card.
And, oh, okay.
You know iFi?
Yep.
Yeah, so the Wi-Fi SD memory cards.
Yes.
And he's a happy camper, an excited man to say the very least, because now he can shoot. And straight from his camera, as he shoots, goes straight to his iPad.
Yep, nice.
And so people can be, if you, let's say you're shooting, you've got art directors there, you don't have to have laptops and tethered, and you go straight to the iPad, you're flipping straight through the images, you're choosing the ones you want, bang. All on that wonderful workflow. So
nice.
So I've ordered one for my Fuji. I thought let's get one of those for the X-Pro1 and we can have a good old play with that. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, right.
But so I thought that's one. It's just that the shifting change of how of a workflow, but how we shoot, how we view things. Obviously, an iPad screen's a hell of a lot better to look at than the tiny screen in the back of your camera. Plus, it's relatively light and portable. Yeah, it's got long battery life, all that stuff that a laptop doesn't necessarily have.
Yeah.
Seems like a perfect little tool.
Yeah, definitely.
I know iFis have been around for a while, but I've just never really sort of grasped the sheer joy of them.
So is the Wi-Fi transmitter actually built into the card itself?
Yep.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, zoop, straight over to your iPad, wherever you are. Kind of cool indeed. And speaking of Fujis, last week I talked about the firmware update, and we were asked about the camera and And I gave my you know, fairly firm comments, and Fuji came around on Tuesday, took the camera back off me for that, you know. No, they didn't. You're not allowed to be honest. So I did the firmware update today.
Okay.
And I've got to tell you, the focus speed significantly improved.
Oh, really?
Significant. Yeah, massive improvement over. And I tested it in the lounge room whilst I was just after my morning nap. And so I had the curtains closed, so it wasn't particularly bright. And it was focused on the I was aiming at the TV and other associated things laying around the floor, like the kids' toys, focusing a dream compared to what it was. Nowhere wow. near as slow.
That's
so
amazing.
Significant improvement in the firmware there. Yep, yep.
I honestly didn't think that a firmware upgrade would have had any influence over the speed at which it focused.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lens update as well as a body update.
Ah, okay.
So they've updated the firmware, the lenses, and the firmware in the body to maximise how they work together. The writing speed of the photos is still slow.
So right.
It's still a bit frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I'm more concerned about the shooting and the waiting. Frankly, I'd rather make sure I'm getting the shots than worrying about, you know, how quickly they transfer over. And darn good. So I'm much, much more impressed. So I shot a couple of photos on Saturday with Peter, a lovely old gent.
Yeah.
And this Sunday I'm running a workshop down in Ocean Grove, and apparently I've got a 70-year-old model bloke as my model for that. So I'll put it through his paces there and see how it goes, and see in a real world shooting scenario how it's improved.
Yeah, right.
So amazing firmware update done. Much of my complaints. I mean, there's still little issues as far as, you know, I think the autofocus lock button's in the wrong place. But yeah, that's just getting familiar with the camera. It's just using the camera enough not to be stupid about it. That's just lack of time in hands.
Yeah.
The only beef I would really have about the camera, realistically now, is just right speed. And you know, it's not really a camera that's designed for, you know, 5 frames a second anyway. So
no.
It's probably not a major issue.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, so if you were umming and ahhing about an X Pro 1 and I dissuaded you somewhat, you know, have another look at it.
Yeah, but just make sure you get the firmware upgrade.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's only $1,000, so I think it's very, very fair price. You want this camera to be good, it's going to cost you, buddy. Yeah. much improved. That's another thing ticked off the list. We are whipping through them, dude.
Fantastic.
We're doing well.
Fantastic.
Because there's no waffling tonight.
No. Significantly less waffle.
We're going straight to the point.
Yeah.
You know, not going to go on and on.
No.
And on. No, we're not. We're not going on and on.
Good.
About other stuff. We're just going to go straight to the point.
Good to hear.
Speaking of the Ballarat Courier newspaper.
As we weren't. Yes.
I meant to mention this when we talk about Pixie photos. There's 300 people losing their job.
Yeah.
But the Ballarat Courier newspaper, I caught this bit of an interview on ABC Radio. So sort of
they've just hired 300 staff photographers.
No, but they are hiring journalists and photographers.
Wow.
Probably the only newspaper in the world.
Exactly.
And here's the thing, they've completely changed their news reporting methods.
Have they just been bought by Rupert Murdoch? Because he's the only guy who'd be that backward thinking.
No, what they've done is they've gone back to, I mean, the Ballarat Courier newspaper. It's a very old newspaper. Yeah, it's 100 odd years old. It's been around a long time,
right?
Since Gold Rush days.
Okay,
so it's not. They've gone back to, the roots, and that is local news, local politics, local events, local.
Yeah,
and made the newspaper about their town rather than about. Basically, they were just covering what everyone else was covering around the world and around the rest of the country. I'm sure there's still some stuff, but there's a lot more local content.
Okay.
And therefore, they need people to write about it.
Yep.
And they need people to go out there and shoot it.
Yep.
And they've had a surge in readership.
Good on them.
Because they said, well, let's just go back to basics. Let's go back to what's important to our community, and that's what's happening in our community.
Yep.
And it's a whole model that a lot of people are looking at, apparently, and saying, well, here's the thing that maybe, you know, we should start looking at doing.
Oh, mate, it'll never catch on.
No, newspapers. Toilet paper's so cheap these days. Who needs it? So I just caught the end of that. And I thought, well, that's pretty darn cool, you know.
It's nice to hear one story that sort of goes against the grain of everything else that we hear. That's all doom and gloom. So
exactly. So I thought that was a pretty cool little side note to our industry. You know, it's not totally our industry, but there's an element there.
Yep.
And I've got two last things.
Right.
And one, I don't even know how the subject came up. I was talking to a customer the other day, and I think she raised it, and something about a friend of hers was shooting funerals.
Right.
And like people shoot weddings.
Okay.
They're doing the whole thing. They're doing the whole ceremony, the taking off the ring, not the reverse wedding. There's still flowers. And he's still wearing a suit.
He didn't chuck them very high, though.
The family, the groups, the hugging, the kissing, and all that sort of stuff. Putting together. Right. So that's just an interesting niche model for photography. We were talking about shooting older people in our lives.
Oh, yeah.
You know? People like Peter. Yeah, people, you know, who. There's a whole market, I think, there for coffin shots, effectively.
Right.
To go there and shoot lovely portraits of people in their latter years for the express purpose of where it's going to sort of head. The last photo the family keeps to remember them, the shot that goes on top of the coffin of Uncle Larry, all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
So it started off with I called them coffin shots. She looked a bit taken aback. my subtlety. It just shocks people sometimes. And then I mentioned to her, and this is kind of where I was headed, was that back in the Victorian era, it was actually a thing to shoot the dead people in family portraits.
Yeah, right.
So if Uncle Larry's died, well, you dress him, you prop him up in the lounge room with the rest of the family.
Like a weekend and have Bernie's. A photo shoot.
Exactly. And have it, so it just shows how things have changed. And that, they do all this sort of stuff. Yeah, if they lost a child, they do this really emotive sort of lost soul kind of looking portrait of her, maybe her laying on the couch or something.
Wow.
And all this really, really quite bizarre looking at it these days. But that was like the done thing. It's interesting how fads or how things change about what's acceptable and what's not acceptable in photos. And I thought that was kind of fascinating. And so maybe there's a thing for maybe listeners to send in for next week. Any if they've heard of other styles of photography that used to be, the done thing, just totally gone. We might find a whole new market for people to go out shooting. Not necessarily shooting the dead folk, but I think coffin shots has a lot to go for it. And there's a market for that,
Well, I mean, you've stated in the past that anybody who comes to your house is going to get photographed. Absolutely.
Anyone with a good head on the shoulders,
Oh, okay. I didn't realise there was a caveat.
Well, someone I actually like. Or if they're with someone I like, and if I don't shoot them, they'll feel the people I like may feel bad. Because, I'm a very cantankerous old chuck. So if I don't like you, I'm going to let you know somehow. But absolutely. I'm extremely big for wanting to shoot the people that are important to us in our lives.
Yeah.
More so since I had my own children, and that really changed. Changed my view of the world an awful lot since that. And I'd like to say family's become more important, but I think it's my immediate. Family, me and my family aren't particularly close, so I can't say that. Family's become important to me. I saw my mum and dad 6 weeks ago. No. I was not sure. I saw them last week, but it was a couple of months before that. So shooting the people that are important to us, and I don't think the elderly people in our society get anywhere near enough recognition and photos taken of them that honour who they are. There's a gentleman I saw in the paper yesterday. He's a World War II vet, fighter pilot who just died.
Oh,
and he was Australia's first Formula One racing car driver as well. After the World War II, he went racing cars, and he died. He was like 91 or 95. So he had a pretty good innings. The photo they had of him in his latter years, whilst it was associated with one of the cars he used to race, the shot itself. Yeah, it was just a bloke standing by a car. There's no no beauty to the shot, no real honor to the shot.
Yeah.
And that's just another case. There's this person who's loved by, and everyone's saying, even though, yeah, he's old and it was expected, et cetera, except there's still this hole in the family that he's gone.
Yep.
But there's still no great photo of him. Yeah. Of this man who was great. And one of the things I loved about him, that for many years on his passport, his occupation was listed as gentleman.
Oh, wow.
And I think it's a different world. So that was a few things about the dead and dying and the elderly this week. And my last thing, my many things I found this week, I came across this article in the BBC newspaper.
Yeah.
And the quote that got to me was, "The quest to photograph has become a substitute for the experience itself."
Yes, I saw that.
So I thought that was an interesting little discussion piece that maybe we could start talking about today and then get people to respond next week and come back with. And the article's headline was, "Should you even take a camera on holiday?"
Yeah, I saw that and I thought, I know exactly where the author of that piece was coming from, because there were...
Yeah, England.
Yeah.
BBC, dude.
Yeah, thank you. because you can get totally swept up in the taking of photos. And I know I've been guilty of it at times, you know, not so much in Borneo, because I think I was more aware of it, but certainly in the past where I've taken photographs and later thought, what does that really reflect about the holiday that I was on?
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, there was a line in that article about, you know, he'd observed a woman in an art gallery shooting these cuneiform clay tablets, and there was like 78,000 of these tablets, and there she was going through taking a photograph of every single one. It's like... How is that going to be useful to you?
Well, you see that at concerts these days as well. That the concerts for a lot of people is experienced from behind their phone.
Yeah,
yeah. Their phone is recording the event for a lot of the important. Especially when I go to concerts, I try very hard not to. I want to take photos, but I don't want to do it for like the first say 3 or 4 songs.
Exactly.
Because I want to at least experience what I paid and came for and get that initial joy of seeing who I wanted to come see.
Yep.
And then say, okay, well, I've got that under the belt. Now I want to get some record of it. And then I'll consciously put it down and then try and watch the rest of the show, you know. But you see, it's children's sporting events. You know, people are so busy now recording the event, they don't actually see the event.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't see the children. Yeah, they're all behind the camera the whole time. And I don't know. It's tough. Where do you draw the line?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, you can look on Facebook or Flickr and you see the people who are not photographers and, you know, their holiday photos, quote unquote, consists of hundreds of photographs of just, you know, scenes that probably looked awesome to the human eye but just didn't photograph well because they were shot on an iPhone, and probably wouldn't have looked much better.
Don't pick on the iPhone, dude.
Probably wouldn't have looked that much better if they'd been shot with an SLR with no filters.
But SLR, depending on, once again, I'd say this in my understanding, your camera workshop, you know, and this happened exactly last Friday. A guy upgraded from a compact camera to an SLR for his last holiday, and he got home and was disappointed with the photos.
Because he didn't learn how to use it.
I said, you're disappointed because they look exactly like your compact cameras, don't they? He goes, yeah, exactly. Why is that? I said, well, you know, that's on auto, dude.
Yeah.
Auto's auto. It's simple as that, yeah. If you let your camera make middle of the road decisions about aperture and shutter speed, your photos will look middle of the road.
Yep.
It'll look safe, it'll look not with any art.
Yeah.
And that's a point and shoot camera, and that's an SLR and auto.
Yeah.
Yeah, full auto anyway.
Yeah. But where I was going with that was that, you know, people, you know, come back from their holidays with all of these very ordinary photographs.
Yeah.
And as photographers, we are probably likely to look at them and go, oh my God, that's the best record you've got of your holiday.
Why did you bother?
But but to those people, they're probably, you know, I guess on one hand, they remind them of the places they went. Half of the photos are selfies taken at arm's length with a historical, you know, building in the background. So I guess, I don't know, on one hand I criticise because, like, oh, for God's sake, you know, learn how to take a decent photo. But on the other hand, you think, well, okay, you've got a record that you were there at that spot and, you know, maybe you don't care about the quality of the photograph. I don't know.
We know that most people don't know what a good photo is anyway. So even if they had a great photo of it, they probably wouldn't really discern the difference. If I listen to a piece of music, I'm not an audiophile,
right?
I don't hear what other people hear. I don't get what they hear. I don't understand your mindset about sound.
Yeah,
because to me, the recording's a recording. It's good enough. You know, and that probably falls back to the same thing with photos, though. We're anal and really fussy about the quality and the look and the angle and all the stuff that makes it mean something to us.
Yep.
But to everyone else, it's good enough. They're happy, and so I can understand it from an audio point of view. But I still can't get my head around it from a photo point of view. Really? That's the best photo you can come up with? Do you know your fingers over half the bloody lens
in half of the shots?
Exactly. But, you know, it's their moment. And
you know, while we've been talking about that, that's given me an idea. You were talking about other potential avenues of photography.
Yes.
This is something you would have to, I don't know, there'd have to be a way to pitch this to rich folk. Imagine if you get yourself a gig going with rich people on their holidays to act as their photographer.
Now we're talking.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Right.
So rich people decide they're going to go, you know, skiing in Banff for the winter when it's summer in Australia, you know, and they think, well, I can't take a decent photo. I'll hire, you know, a Glyn Lavender to come along and take my holiday photos for me. That way all the family members are in every shot because there doesn't have to be a family member taking the photo.
Absolutely.
What a great business idea. You heard it here first, people.
Well, but we're going back to the Victorian era again. Really,
yeah,
that's
exactly.
Some stuff they did back in those days. You go on the Grand Tour and you take people along to paint you in.
Exactly.
You know, but you're right. You could really aim yourself up there for that real gourmet traveller, really high-end guy.
Yeah.
Nice.
You know, the people that are on a, you know, half million or more who, you know, like to take their family all around the world at every opportunity they get, but aren't great photographers. You know, they should just, you know, because to them, the cost of taking one extra body and feeding it and, you know.
It's nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
wow.
That'd be an awesome gig.
Oh, let's start our own business, dude.
I'm with you.
Delete this last
Don't tell anyone.
Delete this bit off the podcast.
I'll put the whole of the last 5 minutes of the podcast, I'm going to reverse it and have it play backwards.
I'm going to bring my signal through in front of you again. Delete that off there. No one knows nothing.
I know nothing.
But you know, there are some strange niche businesses out there in the world, and that could be another one of them.
Yeah. It'd just be finding the clientele. And I reckon once you got one or two clients on board, they'd talk to all of their rich buddies.
Mm.
And before you knew it, you'd be booked.
Absolutely.
12 months of the year traveling with rich folk, just shooting their family holidays.
Yeah, where would you go for your own holiday to get over it? Yeah, can't answer Geelong. Bognor. Yeah. The Rootna Heights or something. Hacking them upper. Place to
pitch my tent outside the Frankston Centrelink for a week.
And flop on the other side for a while. Oh dear, oh dear. Well, that's my lot for the week. That's much my few little things. I had a few other bits and pieces. I think we'll save them until next week.
Okay.
Then we're coming up on time, lad.
Yeah, absolutely. That's been a good chat this week.
Yeah. You said the best ones are crap? You said it's been a good chat this week. What are you referring to? Are we breaking up? But I had that on Instagram this week. So I was posting some photos during the course of the week and there's a series of old Peter, and someone commented, one of my regular commenters commented, this one is great. So I come in the back, the rest are crap. He goes, oh, it kind of does read that way, doesn't it? But yeah, it's too funny.
Cool.
So a couple of challenges for our six listeners.
Yes. Yeah.
We've lost that. Other types of photography that's disappeared.
Yep.
Yeah, I think I was shooting dead folk. Other niche ideas for business. Let's get a few things going. Let's see if we can come up with some ideas for sort of off the wall shooting stuff.
Yep.
And I want someone to come up with another great gadget, like our wet off, like our
never wet
off. So there's the competing company right there. Wet off. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Yeah. Get your wet off. That's it now. Awesome stuff. Get your wet off. I think we should get in touch with them and see if we can just market the whole thing. Same product. We get
go and register that domain name now.
Yeah, but
get your wet off.
But how can we buy the product from them, repackage them as wet off? Get your wet off, baby. And yeah, and you go down like down the beach and you spray bikini babes on the beach so they can go in the water, not get wet. Yeah. No?
Yeah. Nice idea.
When I was like 17, I was actually offered a job to go to Brazil and spray suntan lotion on a stand on a beach in Rio.
Okay, please tell me you had a broken leg that stopped you from going.
And I said yes. And the guy who ran the business, my mate's uncle, topped himself, committed suicide.
Oh, you're kidding.
Like, yeah, a couple of weeks later, for some, I don't know, when you have a job like that, or a business, why would you?
Wow.
So the whole thing fell through because, yeah, he was dead.
Jeez.
Yeah, I was not happy as a 17-year-old lad. I wasn't happy with it at all. The family were fairly upset too, but personally, I think I was darker than everyone else.
How inconsiderate of him.
Yeah, opportunities in life we miss out on, don't you? Bastard. Oh, dear. So, yes, anyway.
Excellent.
So there's some challenges for our constant listeners, our lovely folk out there to come back every week and get abused.
Absolutely.
Or is that just Adam? I know we went Carl a bit this episode too, didn't we? So we managed to insult, yeah. A reasonable proportion of our
listeners.
We're
down to five.
Well, my friend, it's been lovely chatting with me.
Absolutely. Thank you. We'll do it again next week.
Absolutely.
Right,
see you, mate.
Have a good one. See ya.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email thevoice@shuttersincpodcast.com.